hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, and welcome to the sermon part of our 6 p.m. service this evening. It is good to be with you guys. I hope that you've been enjoying the first few days of lockdown level 2. I know for myself, I've managed to go out and get my first cup of proper barista-made coffee that I've had in 6 weeks, which was amazing. And this week I also had a chance to visit our South City C3 building, which you will be pleased to know is still in one piece and is still there. But, you know, tonight we have got a treat for you guys. We are going to be continuing the series that we've been doing called Faith on the Road. And we're going to be continuing to look at the book of Luke. And tonight, my radiant wife Sarah and I are going to be sharing this sermon space. And so we're going to be jumping back and forth between the two of us as we explore the book of Luke chapter 8 and look at verses 1 through 21. But as we go through this passage of scripture tonight, what we want to explore is this common thread that weaves its way through the different verses of our passage. And this thread is the word here. The word here is used by Jesus 7 times in this passage. And it's very, very important for us to understand what God means when he uses the word here. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, then you could argue that if you want to be a person of faith, then you need to know what it means to hear. And in this passage, Jesus tells a couple of parables and he uses this phrase, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, if it is possible to have ears and hear, then that means it is also possible to have ears and not hear. So take a look at what this looks like.
Well, you know, the crazy thing about this whole lockdown is the way that it's just completely upended the aviation industry. I mean, who knows when things will get back to normal?
True.
And, you know, the crazy thing is that, you know, companies like Virgin Australia and Qantas, they were looking to retire their 747 fleets.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like the queen of the skies, one of the most iconic planes in the world.
Uh-huh.
And they were going to kind of phase those out slowly, but now they're actually having to retire them very quickly because of
This
whole COVID thing.
5 minutes later.
Did you know that the engines for a 777 are actually as big around as the fuselage of a 737? I mean, that's crazy. Just the scale of how those engines are designed and what they can do. And they're more efficient too, which is just the wildest thing.
Josh has loved aviation for about the last 6 years, and he has talked a lot about aviation. And if you asked me what I know about aviation because of Josh, I would tell you that there's a skinny plane called the 777, 777. And there's a fat plane called the Airbus, A380, maybe. And that's about it. I honestly cannot tell you much besides that. Is it because he hasn't talked much else besides that? No, it's not. He has definitely talked about aviation. But it is because I have not actually heard what he was saying. If I actually heard what he was saying, then I would be able to tell you what he was saying. I would absorb it. I would respond to it. My life would be changed by it. So you can listen, you can have ears, and you cannot hear. And that is what Jesus is saying in Luke 8. When he asked the question, "All who have ears, let him hear." The Greek word for hear is akouo. Yeah, something like that. And it means, listen to this definition, I love this, to hear God's voice, which prompts him to birth faith within. Within that definition is a part that we do, and there's a part that God does. We seek to hear God's voice, and it prompts him to birth faith within us. It's like reaching over to turn on the radio to a specific station. You have to turn the dial and do the work to get to the right station that you want to. But once you get to that station, you're not producing the sound. The station is producing the sound. We choose to hear, we turn the dial, and God produces faith in us. But here's the catch. It doesn't just matter that you hear. It matters how you hear. Jesus summarizes this in his main point in a second parable. In verse 18, it says, "Therefore, take heed how you hear." You may have dialed the radio, but now you have a choice how you're going to listen to it. Are you going to sing at the top of your lungs? Are you going to turn it down so you can talk over it? Are you just going to have it as background music? How are you choosing to hear that music? And Jesus talks about how to hear. So we're going to ask three questions tonight. Number one, what are the different ways to hear? What can I do to hear? And what will my life look like if I hear? So Josh is going to pray for us, and then we will jump right in.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. Lord, we ask you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Lord, would you come tonight with your spirit and enlighten the eyes of our understanding? Would you help us to see things that we've never seen before? Would you help us to feel things that we've never felt before? And Lord, I pray that tonight, that as we hear these words, as we dig into your word, Lord, I pray that it would go deep on the inside of us, Lord. Lord, that it would transform us from the inside out, so that when we walk away, we look more and more like your son, Jesus. Lord, I pray for your grace upon us this week. And Lord, would you cause these words to be like a sharp sword tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
So what are the different ways to hear? Jesus tells us in the first parable called the sower, the parable of the sower. And essentially what he says is that a sower comes along and scatters some seed along the wayside, which is along the walking path. But some birds come along and devour the seed. And some of the seed falls along the rocks, but when it shoots up, it doesn't have any roots and it withers and dies. And some of the seed falls along soil that has thorns among it, so that when it shoots up and grows, the thorns begin to choke it out. And then some seed falls along good soil and it grows and bears 100-fold fruit. So that's the parable that Jesus gives us to tell us what the different ways to hear are. Because he tells us in an explanation afterward that the sower is the word of God, and that these are different ways to hear. My question is, how many heard? Was it all four? Was it just one? Was it just the good soil? Listen to this interpretation. This is what Jesus said after he gave the parable. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So let me ask you, how many of these heard? All of them. They all heard. But remember the warning that Jesus gives us is, therefore, take heed how you hear. So it's not enough to just hear. You have to take heed how you hear. So I'm going to give you four real life examples to kind of put this in the STV version, Sarah Taylor version of the Bible. So the one of the seeds that fall along the wayside, I call this great in theory. And this is how I feel about recycling. Sorry, eco-friendly people. I hear the thought and the heart behind it of we want to save our planet. And I'm like, yes, go for it. But then I just don't do it. I'm terrible at doing it. So that is like the seed along the wayside. And the second one, the seed that fell along the rock. You do it until it gets hard. And this is how I feel with working out. Every year when you sign up and I'm like, right, I'm going to work out. I'm going to get up. And the first couple of days I get up and work out. And then the fifth day comes around and it's either you push the button for the snooze or you work out. And the button for the snooze just seems really attractive because you feel really tired. And so you don't do it because it gets hard. The third one is the one that fell among thorns. And I called this one, he does it until something better comes up. And this is how I am with playing guitar. You guys may not know this, but I've played guitar for the last 10 years. And the reason you don't know this is because I practice and then, like, I don't practice for like 3 months. And then I practice and then I don't practice. And I love the idea of being able to worship lead in a small group setting. But when I go to practice, if something better comes up, if a friend invites me over, Josh wants to play a game, I'm like, yep, okay. And it just moves down my priority list. Something better comes up. It gets choked out. And the fourth one, the seed that fell on good soil, is, does it no matter what? And this is how I feel about my marriage. That in the ups and the downs, I am committed to Josh. I am committed to my marriage. So that's my interpretation of the four soils to give you a real life example. And we have a choice on how we're going to respond to the Word of God. And all of us are a mixed bag. I'm not just one of those, and you're not just one of those. We are a mixed bag. And sometimes we respond with, let's see. So we respond to the truth of forgiveness, which God talks about in His Word. And we're like, yes, I love that idea. And then someone comes up and steals our parking spot and enrages us. And we do it until it gets hard. And we're like, uh-uh, no, they did not. And we don't forgive them. Or other things. The truth of generosity. We're like, yes, I love that idea. And then it's a choice between giving money away or using it to buy Tim Tams in Josh's case. So something better came up. So we're a mixed bag. And it's good to ask ourselves, is this truth
that we may be studying or that we may be hearing in a sermon. How is this truth landing? How am I hearing this truth? So, we have established that there are different ways to hear. But what can you do to be someone who hears? What can you do to be good soil where you do it no matter what, where your faith is able to endure no matter what? What can you do? So I would like to point out the fact that in the account of Luke 8, Jesus spoke the parables to the crowds, but only the explanation to the disciples. Now, I thought this was interesting because when I give a sermon, I am trying to be as clear as I can by giving an example and then giving an explanation of the example. But Jesus didn't do that. He gave one part and then withheld the explanation. Why? Is it because the disciples were more elite or more spiritual? Or is it because of what it says in verse 9, where it says, "Then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?'" Jesus gave the disciples an interpretation because they asked. David Guzik, who is a Bible commentator, he describes parables as doorways. Jesus speaks in parables so that the listener can choose to open the door and come in, or to just listen and walk away. I love this because everything that Jesus does is an invitation for relationship. His goal wasn't big crowds. His goal was relationship with individuals. So he spoke in parables to invite the listener into a conversation. That day, many stood at the doorway. But how many opened it and went in? How many asked? For those who didn't go in, their ears were tickled, but their hearts were left unchanged. If you want to be a person who hears, who has good soil, a good starting place is to converse with Jesus, to ask him, to talk to him. When was the last time you heard a sermon or you read the Bible and you turned it into a conversation where you thought, "I'm going to dig into this until Jesus gives me revelation on it"? In response to the disciples asking Jesus to explain the parable, Jesus says something that seems unfair, actually. In verse 10, it says, "And he said, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables.'" Why was it given to them and not to the others? Doesn't that seem unfair? But it's because they asked. And because they asked, what does it say God gave them? To know the mysteries of God. So not only did they walk through the door and say yes to the invitation, but they now get to know the mysteries of God. And the word "know" there in the Greek is gnakiko. It kind of sounds Japanese, so I'm probably not saying right. But it is gnakiko, which means to properly know, especially through personal experience. Jesus desires to birth the revelation of his word in your life, in real and intangible experiences. If you haven't experienced that, the truth of who God is, and made manifest in your life, ask him. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and the door will be opened to you. If you want to be someone who hears, who has good soil, converse with him.
So, all of that begs the question, if I give myself to knowing the Word of God, if I become a person who hears his word and allows it to get down to the dusty places of my heart, well, then what will my life actually look like if I hear? Well, in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus tells us that the seed that falls on good soil represents the person who hears the word of God, holds on to it, and then perseveres through the difficulties of life. And, you know, if I am studying to be an engineer, for example, it's not enough for me to just go to my maths classes and simply hear what the teacher is saying without really listening. I have to first hear, and then I have to understand what the teacher is saying. But I can't stop there either. I have to actually study the maths so that I internalize it, so that it gets deep into my memory. But you know what? I still can't stop there. That knowledge then has to persevere through the challenges of testing and graduation. And then even more importantly, that knowledge has to persevere into the work that I would actually do as an engineer. Because let's be honest, no one appreciates collapsible bridges or cars whose wheels fall off. And the same is true with hearing the word of God. When we hear his word, when we hold on to it, when we persevere with it despite the challenges of life, well, then the knowledge of it begins to produce something beautiful on the inside of us. Those who hear the word in this way are referred to by Jesus as those who have a noble and a good heart. And as Sarah has highlighted so far with other parts of our passage, understanding the Greek words that are used for noble and good can help us to see a greater depth of meaning than what English can sometimes do. Now, the word for good that Jesus uses here is agathos. Agathos speaks of being good in your nature, in your very core of your being. And it's a true goodness that isn't fake or something that you can conjure up only when other people are looking. In fact, it is a goodness that remains in you, whether it is seen or whether it is not seen by other people. The word that is used for noble is kalos. This speaks of having noble character on the outside that is a reflection of the noble character that you have on the inside. It speaks of an outward sign of the inward good. And you will know that you are hearing the word of God and responding to it properly when your life becomes kalos, where the goodness inside of you leaks out like a beautiful fragrance until the world starts to wonder how you managed to get yourself smelling so good. This is highlighted well in this passage in the parable of the revealed light. It says in verse 16 of Luke chapter 8, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, carefully consider how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken away from them." We will know that we are hearing the word of God rightly when our life begins to shine with his goodness from the inside. You know, why do we trust engineers to design our cars and our bridges and our aeroplanes? Well, it's because of the knowledge that those engineers have internalized. You know, my brother-in-law back in Michigan is a mechanical engineer, and what he does for his job is he tests cars to make sure that their safety systems all work like they're supposed to. And, you know, I remember asking him this one time about his work, and he spent the next hour explaining all about the cars that he was testing, and then he was showing me some videos of the cars that his team were violently crashing into each other. And if I'm honest, I was slightly jealous, since the closest thing to destroying things that I've been able to do at South City was that exciting time that I got to use the paper shredder. But you know, when I asked him about it, he didn't have to think fast to try to come up with something to say. Rather, his knowledge about complex vehicle systems just kind of flowed out of him. And the reason for that is because he heard the words of his studies and his work, and he has held onto them long enough that they've actually become a part of who he is. And in the same way, you and I are meant to hear the words of God and hold onto them so that it transforms you from the inside out. So that when someone asks you about your faith, it's not something that you've got to try to figure out what's the right thing to say in this situation. It actually just sort of comes flowing out of you. It becomes a real part of you. And after Jesus says these things, the other thing he tells his disciples is that he considers those who truly hear his words to be his true family, even more than his physical mothers and brothers. And when we hear his words and we hold on to them through the discouragement and the disappointment and the many difficulties of life, we begin to actually carry the same spiritual DNA as Jesus, and we truly become a part of his family. So, what will your life look like if you are a person who truly hears? Well, if you truly hear and you truly allow the word to go deep into your heart, then you will find that your life begins to look more and more like the God who actually spoke those words in the first place. In short, you will know that you are a person who hears when your life begins to shine like the life of Jesus did.
So do you have ears to hear? Does the word of God shine forth through your life? You may be all across the spectrum on this, loving the idea of faith, you know, shining through your life, or having faith and walking it out until it gets hard, or walking it out until something better comes up. But if you have a desire, wherever you are on the spectrum, if you have a desire to be a person of faith, then what I invite you to do right now is to ask Jesus. Ask God to help you be a person with good soil who hears the word of God, that he may birth faith on the inside of you. So do you have ears to hear? And if you want to grow in hearing, ask him. Lord, I just pray right now that each one of us would hear this message and have a stirring, a desire to know you more, to walk through that doorway and to stay in the house, to walk through the doorway and to continue to go room to room in discovery of who God is. That we would be people who are like lamps set on a hill, that you would be glorified through our lives. So I just pray for each one tonight that something would pique their curiosity and that it would turn into a conversation with you. We love you, Lord, and we bless you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.